know that we have the victory in the name of Jesus. Praise God. The song says, tell me, somebody, who can stand before us when we begin to call on that great name? Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I'm so thankful to know that there's no foe that can stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He might think he can withstand us, but when we call that name, he's got to fade back to the background. He has no choice. He has to bow. The Bible said, every knee shall bow. That goes for the underworld. That doesn't just go for this world, but that goes for the underworld. That they have to bow their old slimy knee. They've got to get down and say, who's King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Oh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'd like to turn your attention to the book of St. Luke. Real short verse of Scripture, and I'm going to let you be seated. If you'll stand on the reading of the Word of the Lord, you won't be standing long. It's found in the book of St. Luke, chapter 17, verse 32. Probably one of the shortest verses in the Bible. Says this. I'll give you a minute to get there. 17:32 says that it reads like this. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Can we go to the Lord in prayer, Brother Watson?
Lord,
would you lead us?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your word today. Bless O God. Help us, Lord. Help our minds.
We're here to be sensitive, Lord.
Lord, I'm here to do your will, your word.
Help somebody.
Open my mind.
Our spirit.
Open the mind of the spirit of this congregation.
You can, Jesus.
It's only grace.
Lord Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. You know, I got to thinking about it. It's pretty interesting. Jesus, that I can ever recall in the Scripture, never really said the words, remember. And then he goes to say this simple thing, remember Lot's wife, and we don't find it there. So that tells me that it was a very significant thing when the Lord said, remember Lot's wife. It was very, very significant that he said that. It was a very poignant moment, a very powerful moment when he said that, remember Lot's wife.
Right.
And I got to thinking about the fact that, Brother Watson, I don't believe in, and I've been preaching for about roughly 40 years, and I don't think I've ever preached from that particular text and that message, even though that it was a poignant message and a powerful message. And not only that, but I got to be honest with you. I've never really that many times that I can recall. If I've ever heard it preached over a time or two, I'd be a surprise, amazingly enough. As poignant and as powerful as it is, and I'm not here to condemn preachers because we all have things that God would try to move in the direction that God wants us to move in and say the things that He wants us to say. So it's not an indictment of preachers, it's just an acknowledgement that, hey, it just hasn't been that it's in the forefront. But I do believe that we're in a time. Somebody say it's that time.
That time.
That we need to be very careful of and very aware of the power of what Jesus is saying in this particular time.
Right.
I said in this particular day, in this particular time, I think these words ring out more powerfully probably in this day than any other day of all the years of apostolic living that I've ever lived. Sister Taylor, this moment, this time, we need to remember Lot's wife. We need to remember what he's talking about and what he's saying to us in the Spirit. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Now, you have to understand that what he's saying is not everybody when he says he that hath an ear. Not everybody has an ear to hear the Word of God.
Right. Yeah.
I said, not everybody has an ear to hear the word of God. But the Bible says he would have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And so I, if there's ever a day and a time that I can speak for me now, that I want to hear what the Spirit says to the church, it's now. Now, I have a very unusual title. Perhaps you'll get a chuckle out of it. I don't know. But the title of the message that I deliver to you today is simply titled, Remember to Forget. That's a contrasting statement, is it? Conflicting in and of itself. Remember to forget. I get to thinking, you know, the things that we think about in the mind is very, very interesting. And I'll take this even to the point of myself and my wife, and how when we get together and we start, I'm going to be curious to see if anybody else has this experience, especially men and women, husbands and wives in the congregation. But sometimes we'll start getting and talk, we'll have conversations about the past. And I'm always amused somewhat and interested and intrigued by the fact the things she remembers are different. Not that they're contrasting and conflicting, but the types of things that she remembers are not the same things that come to my mind.
Amen.
Right. She likes to tell the story about our two little boys. We had two little boys, and one of them was, if I get this story right, one of them was taking a bath upstairs with you in the apartment that we lived in Pennsylvania for a while. And in that, he said to you, let you tell it. I'll get it wrong. I'll get it wrong.
Okay. Yeah, we better straighten this out.
One was upstairs, and I was downstairs with the other son folding the towel. And the one upstairs needed a towel, so he said, bring me a towel. And so the youngest son said, come in, honey. And he grabbed the towel and took it up there to him.
Come in, honey. Like our mom on the way. So you know, it's interesting. It's little things like that, Debbie, that she thinks about, and I can tell her stuff that's happened, and she'll look at me, almost scratch her head, and go, "When did that happen?" And sometimes she'll tell me stories, and I go, "I didn't remember that." My son just the other day told me something, and he go. And then I had to think about it. I thought about it a few days prior, after that, and I realized, well, why didn't I remember that? Because what it was is I had found a trail bike, and he was too big for it. I didn't really get it for him. I got it for myself and then their future use down the road. And he said, Dad, you remember that trail bike you guys? Remember how much fun we had on that thing? And I said, son, I would never get you a trail bike. I don't know what you're talking about. But you see, that is just the amazing ability of how we think and what we think. And I get to thinking about the fact the reality is, Brother Watson, is that we choose to remember and think about things that either we can highly relate to it, or they have some significance in our life. Sometimes, I'm here to tell you, that people choose not to remember certain things because it's too traumatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people have gone through, some young girls have gone through rape, and whether or not that they're able to even get past that is in their ability to forget as much as they have the ability. Now, I'm not saying it never comes back to them, but they have to learn to forget.
Amen.
To be able to move forward.
Amen.
There have been people that have made financial mistakes. Anybody with me?
Amen.
Made a financial mistake.
Amen.
And what you end up having to do, if you're even going to move forward and make to even better days, a lot of times, sometimes you can have a true blessing and a privilege and an opportunity that knocks at you. But if you're too gun-shy because of the mistakes of the past,
amen,
you have to choose to forget.
Yes.
You have to choose to forget. I'm setting all this up because I don't think we're just going to talk frivolous stuff here, but I'm trying to set a foundation of what I'm trying to talk about.
And so Jesus begins to talk to them, and let's go back and read in verse 26 in the same passage of Scripture that we were. And he says, as it were into the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, watch this now, in that day, he which be upon the housetop, his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. And he goes on to say in verse 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, we'll go back to what I just read a minute ago, because here's what I'm trying to get to that perhaps you haven't understood yet. Because Jesus said, remember, but prior to that, what did he say? He said, in that day, that he would be in the upon the housetop and the stuff in the house, and let him not come down to take it away and be in the field. Let him likewise not return back. What is he saying? He's saying, you got to forget what is behind. You got to forget what is in the past. You got to forget, because you don't have time and you don't have the ability to go get what you need at that moment. But it's time to forget the past, and it's time to move forward into the future. You've got to remember to forget.
Amen.
I said you've got to remember to forget.
Yeah.
Bring to you a challenge of the Word of God today, that if you're going to move forward in God, there are many of us that are going to have to redo like Paul said. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark. You've got to forget what is behind to press forward to what is ahead. So we have to remember Lot's wife. We have to forget what can potentially cause us to be Lot's wife. For some reason, in the last few days, and I'm going to turn your attention to the bulk of where I want to preach, and that is in the book of Genesis. For some reason, the Lord has really gotten a lot of my attention on the book of Genesis, and it just so happened that if you've not been around here, those of you that are around here at prayer time, know that sometimes Brother Watson will ask me to just simply read the Word of God. I might add a little commentary here or there. And when he asked me to read this particular story, really stood out to me, and it's been in my mind. And I feel like the Lord would have us to glean something from this story today. So you've known the story. You've heard the story. It's been told to you many times. But I want to bring it again to your remembrance and to your attention. So it's found in the book of Genesis chapter 19. And we'll begin its story of when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And God rained down fire and brimstone upon the city. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 5. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came unto thee in the night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them, or that we may have sexual relations with them. And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not do so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do to them which is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for they Therefore they came under the shadow of my roof, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came to sojourn, and he will need to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. I want you to know something. In this day and in this time, there is a lot of people that are determined for evil. Can you imagine how determined to do what they wanted to do, which was evil in the sight of God, that they would not even be, would not be dissuaded and discouraged even though they were blind? The Bible said that they still tried to find the door even in a state of blindness. And I'm here to tell you, we live in a world today that is determined to do what they want to do, the ways of ungodliness, the ways of every impurity. Hallelujah. And so this is the world that we live in today. And they are determined to do what they will do. And they don't care about God or the things of God. I'm thankful today because there are, in spite of all the evil and everything that's going on, there are preachers that stand in pulpits and with bravery declare the true word of God. And we're not about to start backing up on what is sin. We're going to preach sin as it is. We're going to declare the word of God is true. Let every man be a liar, but God is true.
Amen.
If the sin of homosexuality is still an abomination in the sight of God, he hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed his heart. I don't care how determined the man is to press the door. They're going to find out that they're not going to be able to do what they want to do just because they have a determination to do it.
Amen.
Can't do it.
Come on.
Because God will do whatever it takes. God's going to have a people that is a holy people.
Amen.
They're trying to crowd us out. They're trying to pressure us to say, keep your mouth shut. You cannot declare that these things are a sin, that they're wrong. But my Bible tells me, don't spare, but cry out. Lift your voice, my beloved, and declare sin as it is. I thank God we have a watchman that is on the wall to declare it. You see, it's important. Some people don't understand the importance of preachers. It's not because God's trying to elevate men. God's trying to elevate your security level.
Right?
Come on now. It's not that God's trying to elevate men, but men sit in a position. He has to put this, the watchman on the wall had to be in a position that was higher than everybody else because he had to look and see from a perspective that nobody else has. When you're inside the wall, you can't always perceive the dangers of sin. You can't always, sometimes you might say, well, I don't see the problem with this or that. But you don't perceive and understand the position that he's in. He's able to see dangers that you're not aware of. He can see things that you're not thinking about. He can make you aware of dangers that you would not normally perceive. I'm telling you, you need to make yourself available to hear the preached word of God because it is the warning that is there for you. It is the warning that's there to save you and deliver you in this hour.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Preach it.
And the men said unto Lot, hast thou any here besides son-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters and whosoever hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. What does the angel tell them? The angels will tell them, whoever you got that's related to you, you better get them out of this city. And I'm no different. I'm going to tell you, if you've got anybody that you love, that you care about, you better do everything that you can to get them out of the wickedness of the world that we live in. Because it's no different from time and tomorrow. I would even argue it's quite possible that it's worse. So if you love them, it's time to do everything that you can to make sure that you reach them. You can't make a decision. How about 50? Comes all the way down to 10. And God says, ah, I won't destroy if you find 10. Because He said, we serve a loving God. We serve, I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what this world says. I don't care what the people of this world say. We serve a loving and a kind and a merciful God. So He says, if I can just find 10. So what does that tell you? That God is very attentive to your prayers when you begin to pray for your loved ones. The Lord's not sitting in heaven saying, well, I don't care about them. The Lord cares about your loved ones. He cares about your situation. He cares about your issue and your loved ones just like He cares about anybody else. If He'll negotiate down to 10, that tells you so much about God and the grace of God. But I haven't really begun to show you all there is to show you about the grace of God. But I'm about to with the help of the Lord. So He said in verse 13, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one as that mocked his sons-in-law. In other words, what he's saying was, they took it as a joke. They didn't even take it seriously, what he was telling them. They couldn't take it seriously, what he was saying to them. And I'm here to tell you, the Bible said that Lot's righteous soul was vexed, living in the place that he's lived, that he was living in. And I'm here to tell you, if you're not careful, the devil wants to destroy your influence.
Amen.
And if you don't live this thing, he will use what you don't do and your lack of righteousness against you and to have others mock you. But when you can stand and say, I'm going to stand on the Word of God, I'm preaching and teaching and believing the Word of God. He cannot, they can, if they mock, they are being foolish.
Amen.
But they laughed because they knew that they probably knew what Lot had offered when they offered up his daughters. This guy's righteous.
They offered his daughters?
Yes.
So it only seemed right to just kind of, to them probably, to mock and to laugh. Oh, you're Mr. Super Spiritual, right? You're the guy who believes in God's Word and honors God and all of this righteousness. And yet you do that. You see, everything we do, especially in this day and time, is crucial. Every act that we do of righteousness that illustrates to the world of who we are is critical. And every unrighteous act that we do is very critical to our testimony. It's very important that our testimony be accurate, that it be pure, that it be powerful. And I thank God that in this church, there are some pure and potent and powerful testimonies of the delivering hand of an almighty God.
Amen.
Praise God. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Watch verse 16. It says, and while he lingered. And while he lingered, knowing what was going to take place, he lingered to the ground, knowing that judgment was about to fall, but he just couldn't bring it with himself to do what he knew that he had to do, was instructed to do. And the Bible said that he lingered. I'm going to show you, Sister Linda, a great grace, because the Bible says this in that next, in the continuation of this verse. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They literally grabbed him by the hand and they pulled them
to safety outside. It was not a matter of choice at that moment. It was not a matter of I don't want to. It was a matter of the angel got a hold of them physically. And he took them out of the city and he brought them to a place of safety.
Amen.
But I'm good here to tell you that the reason why he lingered, the reason why he failed to move, was because he did not forget.
Amen.
He remembered the good times. You see, here's the thing we don't really get sometimes. We understand there was wickedness in the city. There was vile things that were happening in the city. But Brother Watson, just because there was much iniquity and terrible things that happened in the city does not mean that there were not some good things in the city that they enjoyed.
Yeah.
It was a part of their life. It was a part of his memory. And he really didn't want to let go of all of the good things that was there in his past and all of the memories with his family and everything that was. It was pulling at him. And the Bible said that he lingered, and he should have never lingered, but he lingered. And the reason why was because he was not willing to forget. I'm preaching the Word of God. We are to remember Lot's wife, but we have to remember to forget.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you that there are people today that are so haunted by their past, so haunted by what's happened in their background of their life, that they never move forward. They've been captive. They're captive by their past. But God is able to bring you out. But you've got to forget the past. You've got to bury the past. You've got to go forward and say the past is the past.
Come on.
And I'm not going to go back there.
Amen.
I'm going to choose to go forward. To say, God, the Spirit is trying to attack you, and he's trying to, and the Lord delivered you from the very thing that you testified. And I'm here to tell you that the will of the devil is to take you back to where you came from.
Amen.
But what you got to do is you got to say, I choose to forget what I used to do. I choose to forget what I used to battle. I don't battle that anymore. That's all in the past. That's all in the history. I choose to forget. I choose to forget that.
Amen.
Because my success depends on me being like the Apostle Paul and saying, forgetting those things which are behind.
Yes.
I press.
Amen. I love that.
And it came to pass. So they're standing outside the city.
Mm.
And it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad.
Yes.
And he said, escape for your life.
Yes.
Look not behind thee.
Uh-huh.
Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain. Lest thou be consumed. And Lot said to them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which hast showed me mercy to save in my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest I some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto me, the little one. Oh, let me escape hither, for it is a little one, and my soul shall live. And he says, see, I have accepted thee concerning this also, that I will not overthrow the city for that which was spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Now, you got to understand something. This decree didn't come from the mind of angels, Brother Watson. This was God in his infinite wisdom, knew exactly where they would be the safest and exactly where they should be. And so the angel said, hey, we want you to flee to the mountain. He said, oh no, I don't want to go to the mountain. That's some place unfamiliar to me. That's a dangerous place to me. I don't want to go to the mountain. I want to go to the city. And the problem with the city is, when you go to the city, it's going to remind you of the city that you come out of. You're not as easily going to forget. But if you go into the mountain, so far removed from your past, And here's where we begin to see why Lot's wife did what she did. Verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew up of the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Why? Why did this have to happen? It didn't have to happen. But she never forgot Sodom. And she never forgot those things. And so when in that moment, in that time of reflection, in that time of thinking back to the past, she seemingly could not help herself. I want one more view of my past. I want one more view of the good times that I had in that city. I want one more time of the familiar. There's one thing about God. He will often take you from the familiar to that which is not familiar. He called Abraham out of the Chaldees. Why? Because he couldn't do with him what he wanted to do. He had to take it to an unfamiliar place. You have to choose, Abraham, to forget the past if you want the glory and the power and the anointing and all that God has for you. You've got to forget the past.
Amen.
You've got to choose to forget. Hallelujah. Numbers 11 and 5 says this. This is the problem with Israel. Why they ended up wandering. Why they ended up wandering in the wilderness. Why they ended up in the terrible state that they ended up. The Bible says this in 11 and 5 of Numbers. We remember the fish which we did in Egypt eat freely. We remember the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. It's our memory of what we used to have. I'm here to tell you, if you're going to live for God, you got to want what He puts on the table.
Amen.
And your memory, I've been around, sometimes I can be honest with you, I get a little uncomfortable when I'm around apostolics that like to talk too much about their sinful days. I don't like it. I don't like it. Brother Al, I feel a little uncomfortable when I get around and they want to talk about how they when they used to get drunk and how they used to carry on and the things they used to do. Because that tells me that the past is not far enough behind them. Their memory, they're not turning off that part of the memory that says, I've got to go forward in God. I've got to forget all of that. That's only going to drag me back. Some people, when they come to God and they begin to get rid of things in their life that they don't need to have anymore, they put it off into the dresser drawer. Instead of getting rid of it totally, they put it there in another place that it can come back and haunt them, because they know in their mind, if this don't work out, I can always go back to the past. Oh no, if you're going to live for God successfully, you can no longer say, I will try this, but if it doesn't work out, I will reach for what I used to do. It won't work. It won't work. You've got to sell out. You've got to forget so that you can remember. So that you can remember what happens when you fail to heed the voice of God. So they thought about all the things of the past. And it was why they kept being tripped up. Praise God. I hear the words of Peter. Can you hear the words of Peter in these last days? He says this: save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourself. Young people, I'm telling you today, you better save yourself from this untoward generation. You better forget all the things that's trying to pull on you, that's trying to tell you that you don't have to serve God, that you don't have to seek Him with all your heart and mind, that you can wait later down the road. You better forget all of that, and you better say, I'm going to Jesus as hard as I can go. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to going to give Him all my heart, all the things of the past that are pulling me. I'm going to break it off. That's what I'm talking about. I've got a son who lives for God today. But let me tell you, he doesn't always live for God. And in his worst times, Brother Crabtree, this was what he was like. He came to our, he was living out in sin, doing all kinds of manner of drugs and things that he shouldn't be doing, things that displeased God. He calls his mom one day and he said, "Mom, can I come home?" She said, "Son, if you come home, you know one thing. We'll allow it on one condition. If you come home, you're going to church." He's a grown man. "If you come home, you're going to church." He said, "Okay, Mom, I agree." Brother Watson, he came to the church. And I remember well when the Holy Ghost fell on him. He spoke in tongues. The Lord delivered him from his sin. He delivered him from the things that were troubling him. He delivered him from his past.
Right.
Now was an opportunity to go forward into a new future with no drugs and all this. But Brother Brown, the problem was he had all these friends. He had all these buddies that he was getting on his motorcycle with. And he was running off with them and having a good time. And then he'd come to church and he was having to go through the whole repentance thing because he was out doing things that he had no business to do.
Right.
You see, but one day, Brother Crabtree, I finally got through to him. I said, "Son, you are going to continue in the same way until you separate yourself from your past and your friends and you say, 'This is it. I'm living for God. I'm living for God now, and my friends are just going to have to be my past memories.'" Because I'm going to make new memories. And so, he cut it off, and the next thing I know, his life is better. And the next thing I know after that, the boy's getting married. He's got a great wife, a great family, lives in a great situation. But it's all by the grace of God.
Right.
Just like me, just like you, it's by the grace of God. It's not anything we do.
Amen.
What it really was God got a hold of, those angels got a hold of his hand and said, "You're coming with me." Because Mom and Dad had been praying and praying and praying. And the angel got a hold of him and said, "We want to come with me." Now, I'm going to get you outside the city. What you do is up to you, brother.
Amen.
But I'm going to get you outside of the city for another chance and another opportunity. And I'm here to tell you that prayer still works.
Amen.
Save yourself.
Amen.
Come to our generation.
Amen.
Now, I want to finish up by saying this. This is important. This is key. The Bible says that this family, Lot's family, literally had an escort to get out of that city. Come on, so many people say that thing's too hard. I can't do it for God. It's too hard. Let me tell you something. You got a hell of an escort of angels around you. Don't you dare tell me this thing's too hard. You got angels walking with you to the edge of the city to get you out of the city. Don't tell me it's impossible. Don't tell me it's too hard. And my Bible says this. We are passed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It's not just the angels. You hear it? I said it's not just the angels, but you are surrounded by the witnesses, not only of angels, but those who have gone on before that are telling you you can make it. They can tell you you can get over your past. They can telling you you're going to get where you're trying to go.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Round of the bend. Praise God. Hebrews 11. Did we read that?
No.
Can't remember. Hebrews 11. Somebody has got it quickly, or I'll get it in a second. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. These all died in the faith.
Yeah.
Not having received the promises.
Yes.
But having seen them afar off.
Uh-huh.
And were persuaded of them.
Yes.
And embraced them.
Amen.
And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
Yeah.
Verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from which they came out,
yeah,
they might have had opportunity to have returned.
Amen. But it wasn't so.
If they would have just thought,
yeah,
but they refused to think about where they came from.
Amen.
They chose to forget.
Amen.
Yes.
Come on, stand your feet.
Amen.
Yes.
They chose. They chose. They chose. They chose. They chose. They chose to not be mindful.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Remember to forget. Remember, God's trying to get you someplace. God's trying to get you someplace.
Yes.
But you're going to have to remember to forget.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you, O God, for your Spirit. I thank you for your Word. I am so insufficient, O God, but your Word is sufficient. Your power and your grace, O God, is so sufficient. It literally takes us by our hand, O God, to lead us out of the city. If we will but do as Jesus said, forget those things that are up in your closet and in your attic. Forget those things that you think that you have to have. Feel the Holy Ghost right now. Some of us think that we've got to have things. Some of us think, say to ourselves, we have to have this. And the Lord is saying, forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Remember Lot's wife? The only thing that kept her from being delivered, the only thing that caused her to turn to a pillar of salt, was she simply could not forget. Is there anybody here today that you know that you're struggling with some things? And you say to yourself, I have things in my past that are haunting me. And the Word of God is challenging me. And I am going to respond. I don't care who looks. I don't care about anything else. All I want to do is serve God. All I want to do is forget the things of the past. I want to press toward. I want to understand that I'm living in the last days. That the things that I have wanted in my spirit to hold in on to and grab a hold to are not going to be ultimately what I really need. My friends, if half of what has been told and predicted of 2024 is true, if half of it is true, you're going to be living in such a different world than what you've ever recognized before. And it could very well be that you will say within yourself, why am I putting so much emphasis on stuff that's even escaping me? And no longer is it even with me, but I'm losing it. It's going away. And people that are going to lose things, and they're going to come to themselves and realize they never valued the thing that they needed to value the most. Because they refuse to use their mind. God has given you the ability and the power of the mind to say, I choose to remember some things, and I choose to forget others.
Lord, bless you today. I take it that no one's wanting to come pray. I turn it over to Brother Watson right now. In Jesus.
Remember to forgive. My past, I don't want to remember. You know why I choose not to remember? God don't remember. He says, I'll cast your sins as far as the east is to the west. Not to remember them against you anymore. Hallelujah. You can linger on your past and they will literally destroy you.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Some folks I know some folks that are dead and gone home to stand in judgment before God today. They could never forget what they had done in the past. And thank God He forgives me.
Yes.
And the Bible says that if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. I preached a message, Brother Marsh, from that time. Remember Mark's wife, I preached from that. And I preached another message on Zor, the little town, that the angels wanted to take them to the mountain, but they wanted to go to Zor. When they got to Zora, they realized Zora was just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And when they remembered it like Sodom and Gomorrah, and that place called Zora is what that Zora means, it means a place nearby. Get me out of, but let me stay to a place nearby. I don't want to get too far from it. I believe that when Lot said that if I can find 10, will you spare the city? I literally believe that he had children and wives there that would have made up more than that 10.
Yeah, yeah.
And the city could have been. Amen. But the scripture teaches us, you know, when Abraham and Lot got to the place that they were getting too big, that they couldn't be together, and Abraham said, we got to separate. And he told Lot, he said, you choose. You want to go to the mountain? I'll go to the back. I'll go there. But Lot looked at the well-watered plains, and he set his tents up. And the Bible said he set his tents up toward Sodom. And it wasn't very long till he was in Sodom. I know what that scripture says, and I know what you read it today. And I have no idea why a man could even think in his heart to give his virgin daughters to wicked men. But I know one thing, God wasn't going to let it happen.
That's right.
God wasn't going to let it happen. But I never saw that just quite like you said it today. But even after he's smoked them with blindness, they were still trying to find the door to get in there. Wickedness is trying to get in. You'll leave a little crack. It will push its way in to your heart. So Jesus is here today. He said, whosoever will, let him come. Let him drink of this water of life freely. Amen. Jesus has the water. Jesus has the table spread.
Yes.
And whosoever will, let it come. Let it come. Amen. for the parts that was an outstanding blessing.
Yes.